Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Today I want to challenge you to consider, do you have a contented heart? Do you have a heart of contentment in your life? It is God's call on all of our lives as Christians to have a heart of contentment. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, we find a familiar scripture that says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." This is a wonderful admonition from the Lord, giving us the encouragement from God that we are to be content with such things as we have, with the comfort that God will never leave us or forsake us, and that's more important than the comfort of temporal things. Even though we live in a day when people seek to comfort themselves by amassing possessions, by gathering to themselves things and clothing and jewelry and cars and things that would comfort the flesh. And yet God calls us to be a people who are content with temporal things and yet never content with our spiritual condition. There's a great tension, I believe, that should always be in our lives as Christians, and that is that we're content with our temporal circumstances. We're not always striving with regard to our temporal circumstances, but that we are always desiring more in our spiritual life. Never be content with your spiritual condition, my friend. Always have a desire for more. But with regard to temporal things, the Lord would have us develop and nurture a contented heart. So I want to talk to you today about nurturing a contented heart in your life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, we find these words, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Now there are people in many countries in this world that would easily agree that if they had food and clothing on a regular basis, they could easily be content. But we live in a culture where we are encouraged by the media and by those who are the purveyors of natural and temporal items that we need to long after, lust after, covet after more than just the basics of life, but a better car and a better house and better clothing and a higher standard of living. And it seems that the whole world has gone after the pursuit of pleasuring themselves with temporal possessions. And this is so the opposite of the heart of God. The Lord wants us to look at life from His perspective. Yes, we need food and we need clothing and we need housing and we need transportation. These are things that we need in this world to get by, to get along, to take care of the business of life. But the Lord never intended for it to be the focus of our pursuit day in and day out. And yet, so many people in the world and still so many Christians, their pursuit every single day is after temporal things to a greater degree than it is for spiritual things. And yet, if we're to develop a contented heart, our attitude toward temporal things has got to change. It has to be aligned with the heart of God about temporal things. He knows we need these things, the scripture tells us, but we're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, the temporal things that you do need for life, shall be given to you. We need to change our perspective and have a heart of contentment about our natural and temporal circumstances and have a heart of discontent and craving more of the life of the Spirit of God. There are four things I believe that war against the Christian from ever being able to develop a heart of contentment. The enemy has a strategy against you having a contented heart. And the very first one, which I think is easy to observe in our culture, is the temptation to have a covetous heart or have a desire for temporal things. In Hebrews 13 verse 5, it says there that we are to have our conduct be without covetousness, absent covetousness, and we're to be content with such things as we have. Now, covetousness means that we have a strong desire for something, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing or an immoral thing, but it's a strong lust after or a desire to have more of a certain thing. Second Peter, we find that the writer describes those who walk according to the flesh. And in this chapter, he gives many descriptions. And one of the things that he notes here, that those who walk according to the flesh have as an attribute in their life, is in verse 14, and it says, they have a heart trained in covetous practices. A heart trained, their heart is trained in covetous practices. God wants our heart trained in having a covetous heart towards the things of God, but not having a covetous heart towards the things of the world. How does a person have a heart trained in covetous practices? When I was a young mother and pastor's wife early in our marriage, the Lord pointed out to me that my heart was being trained in covetous practices. And I said, Lord, how can that be? We hardly have any money. We lived on a very low income. We had one son and we were just trying to get by. How was it that I had a heart trained in covetous practices? And the Lord showed me something that was happening in my life. Because we didn't have a lot of money and I longed to make our home beautiful and buy things for our home, and at that time we lived very, very simply, I had begun the practice of getting catalogs and looking through the catalogs and dreaming of what I could have to fix our home up, new clothes I could get and different things. And the Lord showed me that I was training my heart in covetousness, because the more I looked at those catalogs, the more I wanted or desired these temporal things. And I did it day and night because I just kept dreaming of the day when I could purchase these items. And the Lord said that I was in danger, because in my case, by doing that, I was training my heart. And it also made me very discontent with our current situation. And here God was calling me to have a contented heart, and I was working my heart in a totally opposite direction. I wasn't content with our situation, and I began to look at all of these items and things and possessions that I longed to get, and I was training my heart in covetousness and frustrating myself along the way, but I was developing greater and greater discontent instead of a thankful heart and a contented heart. And the media today, with all of its advertisements for products and cars and a lifestyle of a higher level that's portrayed constantly through television and print ads and the like, we are drawn to try to lust after or covet more things, more temporal possessions. And it was happening to me. Now, other people may be able to look at a catalog and not have that reaction, but in my case, the Lord pointed out very clearly, I was exercising my heart in covetous practices. I was literally building up more and more desire for temporal things by doing that, and the result was very plain. I was becoming more and more discontent with our circumstances, and that was one of the enemy's strategies against me ever developing a heart of contentment, is this idea of covetousness. A second strategy that the enemy of your soul will try to work against you to undermine your development or your nurturing of a contented heart is the sin of envy. And envy causes a person to compare themselves to others and then long after what the other person has. And it can be possessions, it can be a position or other things, but envy will cause a person to feel in a negative way towards someone because they desire what the other person has, whether it's position, possessions, a job, or whatever. And yet this envy is very dangerous. Comparing yourself to other people is dangerous. It will only stir up discontent in your spirit and in your heart. God wants us to guard against covetousness and against envy, and it takes an act of your will to decide you're not going to compare your situation to your cousin's situation or your sister or brother's situation or someone in the church or someone that you work with. How is it that they can do so much better financially? How is it that they have more temporal items and possessions than we do and become envious of their position in life? This is a dangerous sin because it absolutely sows seeds of discontent in your heart. The third area that is an absolute strategy of the enemy against you nurturing a heart of contentment is the sin of complaining. And this is one that you see everywhere. And the danger of this is multifold. First of all, I will say this. If you are a parent and you personally struggle with having a complaining spirit, and this is a test, if you hear yourself complaining about your conditions, your situation, the way your house is, the way your car is, the way your job is, the way your church is, the way everyone acts, if you are constantly negatively complaining about your situation, that is something you will pass on to your children. And that is something you don't want to pass on to your children. It is very disheartening to hear your own children have a complaining spirit. Nothing's ever good enough. Nothing's ever enough. The dessert wasn't enough. The dinner wasn't enough. Or it wasn't good enough. Or it wasn't something they liked. A lack of gratitude in a child is very ugly. It's nothing we like to see in a child. And yet, if you as an adult have a practice of constantly pointing out lack and what isn't right and what you don't have, and that spirit of complaining dominates your way of speaking about life, understand that you will reap what you sow. You'll sow seeds of a complaining spirit in your family, and your children will grow up with that same spirit of complaining and lack of gratitude emanating from their own hearts. So I warn you, parents, to guard, put a guard over the door of your mouth so that you don't sin against God in the area of complaining, but also that you don't reap it in your own children. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, in the Amplified Translation of the Bible, it says it quite well. Do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves, that you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated children of God, without blemish, faultless, unrebukable in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, among whom you are seen as bright lights or stars in the dark world. That admonition, do all things without grumbling and complaining and fault finding, is a great word for each and every one of us. Whether you're an adult who is married with children, or whether you're a single person or a student, to put into practice this word of the Lord, do everything without complaining, grumbling, and fault-finding, will change your life. Because that spirit that's behind complaining and fault-finding and grumbling is determined to erode a contented heart in your life. The fourth strategy that Satan uses against Christians to attempt to erode a heart of contentment is a thankless spirit. As I said earlier, there's few things as unattractive as a person who has a heart that has no gratitude. They are thankless. They never thank anyone. They're never grateful. They have an ungrateful spirit. And this spirit robs a person of joy. They can have no joy. They feel discontentment all the time. They are thankless. They can't think of one thing they should be thankful for. And yet, God Himself, by the very gift that He gave us in His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the salvation and the forgiveness that we receive through Jesus, gives us a world of thanks that can go up from our own hearts just for that singular, most amazing and beautiful gift. And that's just the beginning. If we look in our lives, there are so many things we can be thankful for. We can be thankful for our health, for family, for our situation, the fact that we do have food to eat every day and a roof over our head. There are so many things to be thankful for. And yet, oftentimes people do not develop an attitude of gratitude until they have lost something and it made them realize what they really had, what treasure they had in their life. Oftentimes it could be the loss of a loved one and they realize they should have been more grateful for that spouse while they had them, and other circumstances like that. They should have been grateful for that job while they had it, and yet they complained every day of their employment with that employer until the day they were laid off. And now they wish they had that job back. An attitude of gratitude is critical for a Christian to have the heart of and the mind of Christ. That is a characteristic that we want to see nurtured in our life. And a thankful heart will give you the basis for which a heart of contentment will be found. When I was first married, the Lord put it on my heart very strongly to give thanks every single day to the Lord for my husband, and to thank my husband every day, to just display an attitude of thankfulness for him being in my life and the good things that he does and his precious character. And I will say, just from the standpoint of marriage, having a thankful heart about your spouse, not because they're perfect. There are no perfect husbands and no perfect wives in the universe. However, we can still cultivate a thankful heart for our husband and for our wife, and it will change your attitude about them. If you could take a few minutes and list out the attributes about your husband or your wife for which you are grateful. They go to work every day and earn a living to help provide for the family. That's something to be thankful for. Talk to a woman who has a husband who's never worked a day in his life and has been an alcoholic all his life. She would be so grateful if the husband went to work every day. So there are very simple things we can give thanks for. You can write down a listing of things and attributes for which you are grateful about your husband or about your wife. This will help you to focus your attention on the things for which you should be grateful to the Lord and to the person. It'll change your attitude toward the person. It's just so often that we focus on the areas where we see fault or error or lack, and we are fault-finding and grumbling and complaining about those people in our lives, whether they be your husband or your wife or your children or your parents. And yet, it's God's heart for us as Christians to have a grateful heart. And it will help you if you will take the time to sit down this very day and write out a list of the things for which you can give thanks to God. And there are many of you that can give thanks that you're alive today because God has spared your life, because He brought you out of illness or tragic accident or some other tragedy you may have encountered. there are many things, but we lose sight of those when we are overtaken by a thankless spirit, by a spirit of complaining, by envy or comparing ourselves to others and their conditions and situations, or by a heart of covetousness. So I want to encourage you today, war against the enemy of your soul and his strategies against contentment in your life by operating in the opposite spirit. Satan wants you to have a thankless spirit. Develop a heart of gratitude. Satan wants you to have a complaining spirit, fault-finding and grumbling about everything. Develop a heart of thanksgiving and praise and encouragement to those people with whom you have found fault in the past. Satan wants you to have a heart of envy, comparing yourself to others, discontent because your situation isn't as good as your neighbor's. Instead, bless your neighbor. Praise God for them. Pray for them for more blessing in their life. Thank God that they have been blessed in their life and begin to become their intercessor and pray for more blessing for them. That'll change your attitude. And Satan will have you develop a heart of covetousness, trying to get you to exercise your heart in covetous practices, meaning that you're working up more and more desire for temporal things. And God, on the other hand, would have you be content with food and clothing and be content in all situations and give him thanks every day that you're alive and breathing and have another day to live for him, another day to show love to other people. This is the heart of the Lord. And by doing those things, you will be nurturing a contented heart in your own life. Let me just sum it up by giving you a quick prescription for nurturing that contented heart. If you know you have been just depressed and down and dissatisfied and discontent and frustrated in your life and pointing out every bad thing that's going on, this prescription is for you. The first thing that you need to do is confess any area of sin to the Lord. If you have not trusted God and you've been frustrated because you couldn't take care of things, but you haven't trusted God to do it, confess that lack of trust as sin. If you've been envious or covetousness about someone else's possessions or position in life, confess that envy about your relatives, about your family, about your coworkers, your neighbors. Confess it as sin so that God can cleanse you of that and you can start afresh. If you've had a heart filled with worry or bitterness and unforgiveness because your circumstances haven't gone as well as you thought they should have and you're blaming someone else for them, you need to confess that bitterness and unforgiveness as sin and ask God to cleanse you of that and then turn and pray for blessing for the people you have been angry or upset or bitter towards. And once you've done that and you have allowed the Holy Spirit to cleanse your heart, then put into action these following steps. First of all, eliminate complaining, fault-finding, grumbling words from your vocabulary. That is vital. If you want to nurture a contented heart, you have to eliminate the spirit of complaining, and the spirit of complaining utilizes your tongue to plant the seeds. So eliminate complaining words from your vocabulary. Secondly, replace those words with intentionally directed words of praise and thanksgiving to God and words of blessing and encouragement and gratitude toward your spouse, toward your children, towards relatives and any other people who have been targets of your critical, complaining, nagging, or ungrateful comments. And then, number three, do not entertain or consider or meditate on, even for a moment, any thought which questions God's character or his motives towards you or his desire to bless you. And lastly, keep God's perspective on temporal things and temporal circumstances. And as the scripture tells us in Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. This is Rita Langland encouraging you, nurture a contented heart and have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.